Tonight, the breaking news here at NBC News. Matt Lauer fired after a complaint about inappropriate sexual behavior. And new reports late today detailing sexual misconduct allegations against him by multiple women. President Trump under fire for sharing unverified videos spread by white nationalists purporting to show violence by Muslims. The president's actions widely condemned, including by the British Prime Minister. New developments on your taxes. The GOP-controlled Senate now appears poised to pass the Republican tax plan. Tonight, the big impact it could have on millions paying off student loans. A shocking moment caught on camera. A man convicted of war crimes suddenly swallows a vial of poison as chaos erupts in the courtroom. And the nightmare before Christmas, an airline glitch that gave too many pilots the holiday week off, meaning thousands of flights are in jeopardy of being canceled. Is yours one of them?
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and welcome to our viewers in the West. We begin with a story that has stunned millions of morning television viewers and that has certainly struck to the core here at NBC News. Our longtime colleague Matt Lauer fired over allegations made on Monday by another of our colleagues of inappropriate sexual behavior. So far, there's been no comment from the 59-year-old Today co-host about the accusations that date back to 2014, even as new published reports out this evening allege a pattern of sexual misconduct by Lauer with female co-workers. NBC's Stephanie Gosk has the latest.
The allegation of inappropriate sexual conduct was made Monday night. Roughly 24 hours later, Matt Lauer, anchor of NBC's Today show for 20 years, was fired. In a statement, NBC News chairman Andy Lack shared few specifics about the accusation, but wrote, "It represented, after serious review, a clear violation of our company's standards. While it is the first complaint about his behavior in the over 20 years he's been at NBC News, we were also presented with reason to believe this may not have been an isolated incident."
This is a sad morning here at Today and at NBC News.
On the Today Show this morning, Lauer's co-anchors reacted to the news.
"For the moment, all we can say is that we are heartbroken. I'm heartbroken for Matt. He is my dear, dear friend and my partner, and he is beloved by many, many people here. And I'm heartbroken for the brave colleague who came forward to tell her story, and any other women who have their own stories to tell."
The alleged misconduct began at the 2014 Olympic Games in Sochi and continued after, according to an NBC spokesperson. The lawyer for the accuser had this to say, in part, "I am in awe of the courage my client showed to be the first to raise a complaint and to do so without making any demands other than the company do the right thing." Today, Variety magazine published a report laying out a pattern of alleged sexual misconduct by Lauer, including exposing himself to an employee in his office and inviting women employed by NBC late at night to his hotel room while covering the Olympics. Three unnamed women tell Variety they were sexually harassed, their accounts, Variety says, corroborated by friends or colleagues. The magazine also reports that several women made complaints to executives at NBC, which were ignored. Tonight, an NBC News spokesperson responded to that claim. "We can say unequivocally that prior to Monday night, current NBC News management was never made aware of any complaints about Matt Lauer's conduct." In September, Lauer interviewed Bill O'Reilly, who had just been fired from Fox News over allegations of sexual misconduct.
"So doesn't it seem safe to assume that the people at Fox News were given a piece of information or given some evidence that simply made it impossible for you to stay on at Fox News?"
I that's a false assumption.
But you don't let your number one guy go unless you have information that you think makes him.
That's not true.
For NBC News, the star anchor's departure is an enormous loss. Lauer has been the face of the network during pivotal news events, interviewing the world's most influential people.
So thank you very much.
An NBC News spokesperson tonight says two more accusers have come forward since the news broke this morning. We've reached out to Matt Lauer tonight, and so far, no response, Lester.
All right, Stephanie, I know you'll continue to report developments in the story. Thank you. And as the national firestorm over sexual harassment continues to grow, the House today passed a bipartisan measure requiring lawmakers and staff to take annual anti-harassment training after the Senate approved similar requirements. This as pressure grows on Congressman John Conyers to resign after four women made accusations against him. NBC News Capitol Hill correspondent Casey Hunt with more now.
Congressman John Conyers tonight in self-imposed exile at home in Michigan, but still refusing to resign from Congress.
He is at home with his family,
They are discussing the allegations.
After a fourth former staffer came forward with allegations of harassment, this time three separate incidents of alleged sexual misconduct almost 20 years ago.
He just sat there. He didn't say anything, and he just took off his clothes down to his skivvies, like you would do in your bedroom.
Conyers has denied the allegations. His family standing by him.
And you all just want to kill this man who's dedicated 53 years of his life to community service.
It's very unfortunate to see him fight so long for so many people and to automatically have the allegations assumed true.
But at least four House Democrats now say he should resign his seat.
If we really are going to change things here in Washington, we have to do things differently.
As Congress grapples with how to change a reporting system critics say is stacked against victims of harassment, and that leaders in both parties now say needs to change.
No matter how great the legacy, it is not a license to harass or abuse.
Sexual harassment has no place in any workplace, let alone in the United States Congress.
Tonight, John Conyers' attorney says the longest-serving congressman in the U.S. House has no plans to step down.
Also tonight, there is a new push for legislation that would reveal the names of members of Congress who've settled harassment claims with taxpayer money. That could become part of a push to reform harassment policies that haven't been updated in over 20 years. Lester.
Casey Hunt at the Capitol tonight for us. Thank you. And yet another well-known figure has been fired for alleged inappropriate behavior. Garrison Keillor, creator and former host of the radio show A Prairie Home Companion, has been let go by Minnesota Public Radio after allegations of sexual misconduct. In a statement, the 75-year-old Keillor said the story was more complicated than the version told to NPR, but that he didn't want to argue about it. NPR will now rename Keillor's long-running show. President Trump is under fire after sharing what have been described as anti-Muslim videos from a British political group with his followers on social media. The White House today responding to outrage, defending the president's action, though he's earned a rare rebuke from the British prime minister. NBC News White House correspondent Kristen Welker has details.
The president not commenting on the new uproar. After sparking international outrage for retweeting a series of unverified videos purporting to show violence by Muslims. Those videos originally posted to Twitter by Jada Franson, a leader of Britain First, a fringe ultra-nationalist group in the UK. Last year, Franson convicted of religious aggravated harassment for shouting insults at a woman wearing a hijab.
I was delighted to see that the leader of the free world, President Donald Trump, had retweeted content from my Twitter account. In a clear display of support.
But the backlash against the president immediate on Capitol Hill.
It empowers fringe elements on the right who have been associated with religious bigotry.
And a stunning rebuke from the British prime minister who says Britain First seeks to, quote, peddle lies, and it is wrong for the president to have done this. This afternoon, the Dutch embassy saying at least one of the videos titled Muslim Migrant Beats Up Dutch Boy on Crutches was not authentic and that the perpetrator in the video is not an immigrant. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
Whether it's a real video, the threat is real, and that is what the president is talking about. That's what the president is focused on, is dealing with those real threats.
Mr. Trump has sparked a similar firestorm before as a candidate.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
And once in office has tried to enact a travel ban, which includes Muslim-majority countries. Critics say it's part of a pattern.
I think that they're also a part of his continuing hatred and against Muslims. But what he's really trying to do is to divide Americans.
Former KKK leader David Duke praised the president's retweet, saying, "This is why we love Trump." Republican Senator Lindsey Graham firing back, saying anything that makes David Duke happy is probably a bad thing. Lester.
All right, Kristen Welker, thank you. Tonight, there are increasing signs a Republican tax plan will pass the Senate this week, but major differences would still need to be worked out between the House and Senate bills. As we continue to take a closer look at the potential impact, tonight we're focusing on college education. The House plan would do away with many deductions that lower and middle class families rely on to make college more affordable. And today, students came out in vocal opposition. Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
Across the country, walkouts and protests at Republican plans to target college students.
I will not be able to continue studying microbiology, which is my passion.
12 million Americans would be affected, no longer allowed to deduct student loan interest from their taxes. Also targeted graduate students, many involved in cutting-edge scientific medical research, who work on campus in exchange for a tuition waiver. Republicans want to treat that waived tuition as income, hitting them with an estimated 400% tax increase, yet little income to pay for it. At American University, Mina Kato would have to pay tax on her $54,000 grad school tuition, which is waived.
I already have a student loan that I'm trying to pay off. I don't know if I can take out another student loan, which means I don't know if I can pay to finish my degree.
70% of students leave with some form of debt. It takes the average person 20 years to pay off their student loans. But every day, 3,000 people default on their federal student loans. Michael Drake is a medical doctor and president of the Ohio State University.
We want people to be educated. Being able to borrow money facilitates that education. Making it hard to pay that debt back is bad for them and bad for the country.
Still, the president insists tax reform is good for the country overall.
The beating heart of our plan is a tax cut for working families. That's what it is.
But tonight, concerned that a plan which cuts taxes on corporations and the rich could make college less affordable for millions of families. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
At an emergency U.N. Security Council meeting late today, U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley said North Korea's missile launch Tuesday brings the U.S. closer to a war it doesn't want. But if it comes, Haley warns, the regime will, quote, be utterly destroyed. New photos released by the North Korean government purportedly show Kim Jong-un guiding the test fire of a new type of intercontinental ballistic missile that it claims can hit the U.S. mainland. Back home, police believe they finally caught a potential serial killer who has been terrorizing the Tampa area. The suspect now charged in 4 murders, and if convicted, he could face the death penalty. NBC's Tammy Leitner has more on his arrest and the tip that led police to him.
4 families overcome with emotion.
I don't have to look behind my back every 2 seconds now.
Tonight, a suspected serial killer accused of murdering their loved ones has been locked up. Last night, police arrested 24-year-old Hal Donaldson III. The tip came Tuesday after Donaldson showed up for work at this McDonald's near Tampa, Florida. He asked a coworker, Delonda Walker, to hold his bag as he stepped outside. She looked inside and saw a semi-automatic pistol. That employee alerted an officer who happened to be in the restaurant.
I'm so proud of my wife for handling that the way she did.
Police say the gun recovered was used in 4 murders over the last 2 months, all within a 7-block area.
For 51 days, we had a neighborhood that was held hostage.
Police released surveillance video of a person of interest. Detectives found Donaldson had blood-stained clothes similar to the clothes seen on the recordings. His cell phone records also lined up with the dates, times, and locations of the first 3 murders.
Did Mr. Donaldson offer any type of motive?
No, he did not tell us why he was doing it.
32-year-old Monica Hoffa was left for dead.
We want to have answers as much as anybody else wants answers.
Tonight, her family is left to wonder as a community begins to heal. Tammy Leitner, NBC News, Tampa, Florida.
The Supreme Court today took up the issue of privacy in the digital age, and it's a case of interest to anyone with a cell phone, so that's just about everyone. The question, do the police need a search warrant to track your movements by using your phone? NBC News Justice Correspondent Pete Williams explains.
Nearly all of us in America, 95%, have a cell phone, and the phone company captures a lot more data than just the numbers we dial. In fact, police can use that information to track where we've been.
When you use your phone, it signals the closest cell tower. As you move around, it keeps reconnecting to the nearest tower, and that leaves a record. Digital breadcrumbs.
Suspecting a Detroit man of robbing several smartphone stores, the FBI got the tower location records from his cell phone provider to prove he was near all the stores when they were robbed. But his lawyers say the case should be thrown out because the FBI did not get a search warrant and should have, because those records can reveal so much.
Access to these aggregations of our historical location records present the government with a veritable time machine, an ability to press rewind on someone's life and learn where we've been over weeks and months far into the past.
Both liberals and conservatives on the court seem concerned about an invasion of privacy, Justice Sotomayor said a cell phone can be pinged in your bedroom or doctor's office, in the most intimate details of your life. And Chief Justice Roberts said you really don't have a choice these days about sharing that information if you want to have a cell phone. The court appeared ready to say that cell phones can reveal so much they deserve more protection from Big Brother. Pete Williams, NBC News at the Supreme Court.
Still ahead as we continue tonight, holiday flight crisis, how a massive glitch left a major airline with no one to pilot thousands of flights over the busy Christmas travel week. Could it impact your plans? We'll have more in a moment. We're back now to tell you about a computer glitch. It's causing major problems for American Airlines, and that could mean major problems for holiday travelers booked on American. A system error apparently gave too many of the airline's pilots Christmas break off, meaning there aren't enough pilots to fly all the airplanes. As NBC's Miguel Almaguer reports, he tells us what passengers need to know.
The Pilots Union for American Airlines says some 15,000 flights during the holidays now have no pilots. The union says a glitch in the scheduling system means millions of passengers may never get off the ground.
Frankly, it leaves passengers and our flight crews in limbo. We have a lot of pilots and flight crews who are depending on a reliable schedule, just as our passengers certainly aren't.
The scheduling error, according to the union, allowed pilots to take off one of the busiest flying times of the year, December 17th through the 31st. In a statement, American says, "We have reserve pilots to help cover flying in December, and we are paying pilots who pick up certain open trips 150% of their hourly rate, as much as we are allowed to pay them per the contract."
And at this point, it's a waiting game, which is really unfortunate for consumers who are just excited to get out of town for the holidays. They don't want their vacations to turn into a nightmare.
Tonight, American says it's working to avoid cancellations, but the union representing their pilots says Christmas travel this year may be anything but merry. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
Coming up, the jaw-dropping moment caught on camera that left a courtroom completely shocked. We'll be right back. We're back now with the shocking and frankly horrifying moment caught on camera. An accused war criminal in court told his appeal was denied when suddenly he pulled out a vial and swallowed what was in it, then announced he'd poisoned himself, triggering chaos in the courtroom. Here's NBC's Kelly Cobiella.
The International Criminal Tribunal.
Tonight, an international court is a crime scene after this former general shocked the judges.
Mr. Pradyak, you may be seated.
Saying he was not a war criminal, rejecting their verdict.
Stop, please. Please sit down.
Then drinking a bottle of mysterious liquid. In the courtroom, confusion. The interpreter translating, the bottle contained poison.
I have taken poison.
We suspend, please, the curtains.
Paramedics rushed him to the hospital where he later died. The defendant, 72-year-old Slobodan Praljak. Convicted of war crimes in the former Yugoslavia, including ethnic cleansing of Muslims. The sentence, 20 years.
I'm sure that security will be tightened in these courtrooms after this event. At present, it's not very hard to smuggle in liquid, pills, things of that nature.
Praljak, a film director before the war, writing his own dramatic end. Kelly Cobiella, NBC News.
When we come back here tonight, she's still flying high after 60 years and counting at 30,000 feet. Finally tonight, we want to share the story of an 81-year-old American Airlines flight attendant whose smile has been greeting passengers for six decades now, and she's still soaring after all these years. NBC's Katie Beck has her story.
It's wheels up before the sun's up for flight attendant Betty Nash.
Got everything there?
I do.
Pull it along. Hi.
For many, her face and her voice familiar.
Small handheld electronic devices may be used in the airplane mode.
By now, it should be. She's been on the job 60 years.
I love being here. It's the people, and especially the trips where I know my customers.
And she's always going to be happy to see me. And she always say it must be Tuesday.
The single mom for decades flying at dawn to get home early to care for her son with special needs.
We used to say, joke and laugh about being 65 and walking down the aisle in, you know, with a crutch or something.
But Betty still wears heels, just as she did in 1957. But on board today, no more silver coffee pots, carving stations seatside, or $12 round-trip tickets.
After dinner, we loaded up a snack tray with cigarettes and matches.
Her senior status has fan flyers asking for autographs.
Another 10 years, Betty.
You know, it's trying to make people happy. That, to me, is the big thing. If people are happy, then you're happy, too.
Pillbox hats and white gloves have come and gone. Betty hasn't.
Bye. Have a good day.
Still treating every passenger with first-class care. Katie Beck, NBC News, Washington.
See, there's still some joy in flying. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.